Well, I don't know if you got a Father's Day card yet today, the dads that are here, but maybe you got one that said this. Happy Father's Day to the man who still refuses to ask Google Maps for directions even when he doesn't know where he's going. Confession time? Any men out there like that? Or maybe this happened to you. You wake up on Father's Day and you find this. I love my dad. Scratched into the paint of your new truck or car, what would you do? Now, here's an ethical question. Or maybe you're like this new dad. My wife is going into labor. What should I do? The nurse says, is this her first child? He says, no, this is her husband. We've all been there. One of my favorite cards wasn't a Father's Day card. It was a Christmas card. And we were visiting our daughter in northern Saskatchewan for Christmas. And our son had flown from college in Toronto, and we met there. And he wasn't always the best advanced planner, and so he didn't have a Christmas card for his parents. And so in the small town that they lived, there weren't a lot of options. And there was a gas station. And we stopped there, and he went in, and over in the corner of the gas station, you know, you have the cheap cards. So he tried to find one. He still couldn't really come up with one. There was nothing there that necessarily said, you know, for special parents at Christmas or whatever. But there was one there that was, I guess, for a birthday. And it was for a special son. So he decided to buy that one and scratched out for and put from on it. And so we got a Christmas card that said, from a special son. So I think that's one of my favorite cards. Father's Day and Mother's Day are two interesting days in church life in general. We acknowledge they come with a variety of feelings for various reasons. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading on a Facebook group for pastors of our denomination, and the questions were kind of going back and forth about whether we should preach thematically on these days and so on, and some various opinions. And one guy said, I try to stay away from Father's Day services. He said, on Mother's Day, the ladies are always encouraged and they're celebrated. Of course, we, as I said, Sheila did a beautiful message for us on Mother's Day, and we talked about butterflies, and we had the photo booth outside and the cupcakes. He said, women are encouraged and celebrated. He said, but men are usually challenged and told to smarten up. So there's a little bit of truth to that. Well, I'm not going to tell anyone to smarten up this morning, but I want to give you an example of a great man from the Bible whose example might be worth emulating. And I want to encourage all men here this morning to be a man of God. And when we say a man of God, it almost sounds scary, something unattainable, something beyond us. But the Bible clearly tells us that we can be men of God, and it's not as difficult or impossible as we might think. Throughout history, people have been known for their accomplishments. You say a name, and right away something comes to mind. So let's just do it. First thing comes to your mind, Wayne Gretzky. Hockey, greatest hockey player of all time. Terry Fox, I met him actually when I was in grade 8 on his run across Canada. Henry Ford, I was waiting for someone to say bad trucks, no. Thomas Edison, light bulb, okay, let's try some biblical characters. Jonah, whale, there you go. Judas, betrayer. Noah, Ark. Well, that's where we're going to park this morning. That was a part of his greatest accomplishment. Noah built an ark. That's what we remember him for. But his greatest accomplishment was something that happened as a part and as a result of his building the the ark. Let's read a couple of verses of Scripture. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9 says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, he's noted among the heroes of faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to the salvation or to save his family. I would say, and this can be the summary statement, that Noah's greatest accomplishment was that he provided an opportunity for the salvation of his family. He provided an opportunity. There are a lot of great people who have done a lot of great things, but the greatest accomplishment that could be credited to any person, dad, mom, other, not a dad, not a mom, young person, the greatest thing that can be credited to you today is that you provide an opportunity for people to have salvation. At the end of the day, Noah's greatest accomplishment was the faith of his family. In Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, we have this story that I'm assuming, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming that most, if not everyone here this morning is familiar with. The story of Noah and the ark. A story that talks about the rise of evil on the earth. It tells us about God's judgment upon that evil by sending a flood. But it's a story mostly of grace. It's a story of the grace of God that in the midst of judgment offered and provided protection and salvation for the people who would turn to him. And it's a story of a man who was willing to be a man of God by doing what God had asked him to do. And so, yes, it's a story of judgment. It's a story of the flood. It's a story of building a big boat and two of every kind of animal going into it and so on. But it's also a story of God's grace in providing shelter and salvation to people. And it's also a story of God's grace by providing a man who was willing to do what God had asked him to do. And so quickly this morning, I want to talk to you about some keys to being a man of God. What enabled Noah to be a man of God? Yes, that was thousands of years ago. Society was totally different then. But the same things that enabled Noah to be a man of God will enable you and I to be men and women of God. First one, he walked with God. So that's not, you know, it's not easy to walk with God, but that doesn't sound overly complicated. That doesn't sound like a major thing that I need some sort of a degree to do. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we read it. It says, Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his time. That's something there. And he walked faithfully with God. Noah's calling was, if I asked it quickly, people would say, well, to build an ark. He was asked to build an ark, but his greatest calling was to follow God. And in so doing, he was a great influence on his family. Walking with God is a privilege that's given to each and every one of us. It's a challenge, but it's also a privilege that God doesn't just send us. He just doesn't say, go and do. It says that he, by his Holy Spirit, walks with us and leads us every day. And so the key to becoming a man of God is to walk with God. If you spent time around someone, maybe a boss that you had, and you learned your trade from that boss, or you spent time with a friend, or maybe it's your earthly father, and by walking with them, you learn so much. Well, walking with God is the same. As we walk with God, we get to know God, and we become men this morning, and yes, women, of course, men and women of God. Noah worked. He was a worker, yes, obviously. He built an ark. He worked tirelessly in spite of opposition. He worked tirelessly that he would provide for his family against things not yet seen. He wasn't providing as a reaction to something. He was providing as a prevention to something that was coming. And in response to the clear voice and direction of God, he built an ark. And yes, dads that are here this morning, I know times have changed tremendously, obviously, but in many ways, times are very similar. If we read in the account of Genesis, in the account of the flood, we read these words: "The earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways." And so, yes, times have changed, the specifics are different, but yet it's similar. We live in a world of corruption where people have corrupted things, even the things of God. Wickedness, the Bible says in verse number 5, if you go back a few verses before that, it says that the inclination of man's thoughts, or rather, that every inclination of the thoughts and the human heart was evil. Doesn't that sound familiar to a day in which we live? That it seems like the inclinations of people and their thoughts just seem to be so messed up and so evil. And so, yes, times have changed, but really, there's nothing new under the sun. And yet, it tells us that Noah found grace. In the midst of that corruption and violence and wickedness and evil thinking, it says Noah found grace, and so can we. We can find grace. Yes, there are new challenges every day, but it's the same God. And I know as a father, I'm sure I know I have failed, but we try. Noah wasn't perfect. The Bible calls him complete. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but he tried. He gave an opportunity for the salvation of our family. And so every dad that's here this morning, let me say to you, it is your responsibility to provide an opportunity for the salvation of your family. The spiritual destiny of your kids is not your responsibility. They will choose. They, as they become of age, they will make a choice. Their spiritual choices at that age are not your responsibility. But it is your responsibility to make sure you've given them an opportunity and an understanding and a knowledge of how they too can have a relationship with God. That is where our responsibility is, to provide the opportunity. Noah couldn't control whether his kids would enter that ark or not. But it says he built an ark to provide an opportunity for the salvation of his family. And those verses, that verse that we read a few times, I don't know if there's any greater Father's Day tribute that could ever be written about anyone. Noah walked faithfully with God. Not everyone was as blessed as I was as a child. Now, if you knew our family history and finances and so on, you'd say, I think there's a few more people blessed more than that. Remember when my grandfather died, his inheritance to my dad was a watch. That was it. I think about $100, and Dad bought a watch out of it. But my grandfather, a fisherman without formal education, provided an opportunity for his children to have a relationship with Jesus Christ because he walked faithfully with God. And my dad chose that he would follow faithfully in those footsteps and he would become a man of God. And when my dad passed away, well, again, I grew up with kids who had a lot bigger and newer and better skidoos than I did. But nobody ever had a better example of a man who walked with God. You see, walking with God implies a relationship with God. You walk with someone, you might go to a mall and you might, for a moment, just walk in step with someone and then they're gone their own way. But if you're walking with them, it implies a relationship. It implies communion. And this morning, I would say more than anything else, not only does the church need, but our world and our society needs today is men who will walk with God. And men who will listen to God. God asked Noah to build an ark. And it says Noah did what God asked him to do. He listened to God. He had a fear of God. The writer of the Hebrews said, in godly fear, in reverence and respect and trust, he listened and he obeyed what God asked him to do. It tells us here in the book of Genesis that we read, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That implies that he was seeking favor with God, that he was seeking God. Noah found favor. He was looking and had a relationship with God, and it tells us that he was a just. Was he perfect? I doubt it, because nobody else was except for Jesus. Job is described in the Bible as being pure and blameless. We talked a little bit about him last week, how he lamented of his circumstances and poured out to God and questioned God. And yet the Bible describes him as a whole, as pure and blameless before God. Something to walk with God. God doesn't want us to lag behind, man. He wants us to walk with him. Neither does he want us to rush ahead of him. Make that mistake that we've made maybe sometimes. But to walk with God and to wait on him. I already read to you the scripture that you're going to see on your treat on the way out. They that wait upon the Lord will find strength. So you want the strength today, then find it in the Lord. Noah was a man who walked with God. He was a man who worshiped God. It tells us he was a man of prayer. After one of the things we find recorded about him, and we see it several times here in the passages that follow, Noah built an altar to the Lord. There was always an aspect of worship and respect and reverence before God. He was a man of God. Noah walked with God by listening, by waiting, by worshiping. Noah also was a man of God because he witnessed with his life. An old Scottish preacher, I don't know his name, he's quoted by commentator N.T. Wright. He said this, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Now, you're listening to one, so you're still going to have to finish this one out. But you would concur with me that it's better to see a sermon than to hear one. And that was what was so, I think, godly about Noah's life. He witnessed with his life, not just with his words. I can bring you examples. You can tell me examples of people who say the right things and they have everything articulated clearly, but their lives don't line up with what they say. And then you know other people, and I know them, other men of God and women of God who hardly say a word, but yet their lives display trust and dependence and confidence in God, and their lives are a far greater witness than any words could ever be. They may say little, but they live much. And that was obviously Noah. It says he was blameless among the people. I mean, that's quite a reputation to have. Think of anyone that we know in any kind of public venue. As soon as they come into the public, people will start to find fault. And here's Noah in that culture doing something that nobody had ever heard of. It says he was blameless among the people. You see, not only did the building of the ark become a witness, what's he building or why is he doing this, but his life was a witness, his reputation. He must have had a good witness. Who knows you better than anyone else? Who knows you better than anyone else? Tell me. Jesus? Good answer. Jesus is always the right answer. Outside of Jesus, who knows you better than anyone else as a person, as a father, or as a mother? Who knows you best? Your family, your spouse, your children, your family. They know you better. They know what you're like behind closed doors. They know what you're like when the church service is over. None of us are perfect. My wife keeps telling me I'm perfect, and I keep reminding her, no, dear, I'm not. But nobody knows us better than our families. And what did his family do? They followed. So that tells me that he had a witness that went beyond his words. That they were willing to trust their dad because they knew him as a person. Not because he said, listen, some bad things are going to happen. But because they trusted him. There's a credibility that comes with a life that's lived for God. And you will have a far better opportunity to be a witness for Jesus when you live for him. And people will trust you. There's a contrast that's shown here. It says that his neighbors were corrupt, violent, wicked, evil. That was the inclination of everybody's heart. And then there was this guy named Noah who was just. And he walked with God. His life was a witness. So I would say, men, this morning we may not need to build an ark physically. But we do need to live in such a way that if God calls us to build one, people are going to take note because they're going to say, well, that guy is, I trust that guy. And we are called to provide that shelter in a day and the things that are coming. Noah was a man of God because he was willing to do what was right when everyone else was doing what was wrong. And there's a challenge in our day. Men, do what is right, even when everyone else is doing what is wrong. And the result, it tells us in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 7, and Noah, so here's the conclusion. The ark was built. Verse 5 says, Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. I told you a couple of weeks ago, we can only do what we can do and then allow God to do the rest. Noah did everything that God commanded him. And then it says, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark. His greatest accomplishment was not a seaworthy vessel. His greatest accomplishment was that he lived in such a way that his family trusted him and followed him. He didn't have to be a great preacher. But for some reason, I think he was a great practicer. That's even a word. In our day, many would have called him a loser. Spending his time, his resources, preparing for something that God says is going to happen later, rather than enjoying the here and now, but he was a leader and led his family to safety. Notice, his kids were adults now. His kids were adults. They weren't his sons and their wives. They weren't little children that you could take by the hand or force them. They were adults, able to make their own decisions. And they responded because the opportunity was given. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. There's no guarantee that he'll take the right path. But there's a guarantee that they won't depart from that training. Train up a child in the way he should go, they should go, he or she should go. And when they are old, they won't depart from it. They will never depart from that training. You train your children and give them an opportunity. They will make a choice. Hopefully they'll make the right one. Maybe they won't. But they'll never depart from that training. That I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. I have friends who've decided that they're not serving Jesus. But that training and example that they had will never, ever leave them. We can't guarantee their entrance into the ark, but we can build them an opportunity. Today, it's not easy to be a man of God, or a father, a mother, a Christian leader of any kind. Same symptoms are alive as were in Noah's day, but so is the same God who enabled Noah, and he can enable us. And a God who invites us to walk with him. It tells us in chapter 6, a few verses later, that God asked Noah to do something, but then he said, I will establish a covenant with you. You will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And God established that covenant with Noah. And today he's made a covenant with us through his son Jesus. And signed that covenant in the blood of his son Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have the privilege to know him, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have his Holy Spirit living within us, to give us wisdom and guidance and direction in life, and give us the privilege to walk with God in such a way that we can lead our family. So dads that are here this morning, you still have young children that you're influencing, or grandchildren, or your children still look to you for direction, listen to the voice of God. Walk with God. They will notice. And I believe because of that example, in time, they too will find their way into the ark that has been provided to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that you've left us examples. Lord, you recognize the day that we live in, and you recognize the challenge to be a godly man, to be a godly woman. Lord, you recognize the evil of people's hearts and the inclinations of bad. And so thank you this morning that you've allowed us to have that privilege to walk with you. And so I pray for every man that's here in this building this morning and every lady as well, Lord, that you would enable us to walk with you in such a way, Lord, that we will provide an opportunity for every person who comes behind us to find their way into your ark of safety. And Lord, for those who at this point appear to be going in different directions, appear to have just ignored and decided they're going to walk a different path, Lord, your word gives us a powerful guarantee that they're not going to depart from that which they have been taught. And so, Lord, I pray that today, on this Father's Day, that your Holy Spirit would bring something to their memories. And Lord, that they would acknowledge that they need to respond to that opportunity for salvation that they have been given. And that we would have the joy, Lord, of hearing, even today, Lord, even today, that we'd have the joy of hearing that some dad has gotten a call from his child. And Lord, just with the news that they have given their lives to you, Lord, let this be the day. We pray for every child. Lord, those that are just infants, Lord, we have them here in our midst this morning, just born into this world. And Lord, they're going to need godly examples. Because they're going to get everything else for free. So, Lord, give us men, young men, who will walk with you. And, Lord, provide that ark of safety, an opportunity for salvation. We pray for our children, Lord, in our schools this morning. Lord, who are being bombarded with evil inclinations. Lord, help us, not only as their earthly fathers, but Lord, as men and women of God, to live in such a way that they would look to us and that we can help extend and strengthen the hands of parents, Lord, that are doing their best. I pray for teenagers and young adults, Lord, who may appear that they've decided they're going to take a different path. Lord, just remind their parents that your Holy Spirit has not abandoned them and that you're constantly working with them. Lord, you're constantly reminding them, and Lord, they will have the joy of hearing that their children have come to know you. Lord, I pray for the men, women that are here this morning whose most majority of their life has passed. Lord, may feel like, well, I can't do anything else right now. Lord, remind them that they can do so much by continuing to walk with you, by continuing to hear your voice. Lord, by continuing to be godly examples here in our church that our young people look up to. And Lord, by being men and women of prayer and strengthening the hands of the young mother, the single dad, Lord, who's struggling. Lord, that together we might work not only as individuals but as a church to provide an opportunity for the salvation of everyone that we love. So, Lord, we ask you would guide us in Jesus' name.
Let's sing.